Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to be in Ephesians today. So, if you want to turn your Bible, it's Derry's going to put it up there if you want to. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. Ephesians 1, 18 through 21. And the message this morning is about the power of God. Amen? About the power of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you that we can come to your house. Thank you that we live in America. Lord, we take time now to pray for everyone that's on the back of our bulletin. Lord, we don't ever want to forget that or take that for granted. Or, Lord, they are people, our church family and our friends and family that are on the back of that bulletin that need a miracle and need your wonder-working power to move in their life, whether it's a physical healing or salvation or financial problems or just issues going on in life. Lord, we just pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. We pray for everyone that's not here this morning for various reasons. We pray that they'll be able to go vacation and visit family and get back home safe. Lord, as always, we pray for our missionaries around the world spreading the good news. And we do lift up our military. That you'll keep them safe as they're out around the world keeping us safe. In Jesus' name, Lord, help me this morning. Amen. Amen. I know I pray for the missionaries and military every Sunday. I try to. I even lost my little army man up here. I need to get another one. And it always reminds me, we don't ever, ever want to forget about our military and our missionaries, right? And we need to stay grateful and thankful that there are men and women willing to sacrifice their lives to reach the lost, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus around the world. And also those men and women who are willing to sacrifice and lay down their lives for in the military, keeping our country free and protecting those in the world. Amen. I love it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. Let's read. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know I'm not trying to insult your intelligence here, but I'm trying to drive this home. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, I want to highlight those two words, and we're going to talk about them in just a little bit. Incomparably great. We're going to talk about those two words in a minute. Continue verse 19. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Everybody said amen? Amen. Now, we often hear about the power of God. I've read and heard stories about the power of God moving in churches, in Bible studies, moving strongly in a missionary work and fields. Some of you have experienced the power of God. The Bible's full of examples of His power in action. In Nehemiah, He is the great God. He is the Almighty. He is the awesome creator of the universe. All throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, We are taught to rely on His great power to get us through trials and tribulations in life. We go through things. We're human beings. We experience trials and tribulations in life. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, right? It doesn't matter if you're over here or if you're over there. We all experience trials and tribulations in life. Difficult things. Things like a job loss, a terrible sticky divorce, rebellious children, hateful persecutions, a devastating illness, or maybe a loss of a loved one. Learning to rely on the power of God is part of living the victorious Christian life. Amen? The Apostle Paul gives us a glimpse of the power of God when he writes of his incomparably great power for us who live and believe in him. It's the same power. The scripture just said it's the same power as the mighty strength that he applied to raise Jesus from the grave. It's the same power that seated Christ at his right hand above all authority, above all power that ever has been. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding and praying for each of us. Now, let's look at these two words. Incomparably great. Now, hang with me. I got my teaching hat on this morning already. This word great, and this is kind of interesting for me. It is anyway. In the Greek, that word great means megathos. Megathos. Sounds like an Avengers superpower hero, doesn't it? Megathos. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Megathos. That's what that means in Greek. And here's what it means. It means to be strong beyond measure. It means excessively huge, beyond measure, that megathos. Now, the word only appears one time in the entire Bible. And it appears right here in this verse in the New Testament. The word obviously wasn't sufficient for Paul trying to express God's power. So he had to add a whole another word to this. So this word, incomparably, what it means in the Greek, everybody ready? What it means in the Greek is this. It's a word called hyperbolon. Hyperbolon. Now, I just looked this up this week, so I'm not trying to impress you. And for you new guys, I don't know how to speak Greek, but I just find this interesting because you study the Bible and you find the deeper meanings. It kind of enlightens and uses revelation so you can see things clear. You know, in the Greek, this word incomparably means hyperbolon. It's a verb, so stay with me. It's a verb that literally means to throw beyond the usual mark. That's what this word means. It means to excel and go surpass what is even expected. Now, the Greeks, you know, they use this at the very beginning of their Olympic Games. So they'll have these cats out there throwing stones or whatever they were throwing at the beginning. We would see it as a shot put, you know, kind of thing. But whatever they're doing, they would throw those javelins or spears, and say most of the guys could throw it 40, 50 yards. I'm just guessing, all right? I should look this up, but they throw it 40 or 50 yards. And every once in a while, you got to come in that would throw it like 80 or 90 yards. And they would use that word, hyperbolon. That's what it means. It means to throw way beyond the mark. I remember you football guys, you did like football. I remember back in the day, Brett Favre, you know, the average NFL football player can throw the football about 60 to 80 yards. Some, you know, I remember Brett Favre. Can I tell you the story? Is that right? I remember Brett Favre standing in the end zone back in the young days, and he could throw the football into the other end zone. That's crazy. That's hyperballing. I mean, that's hyperballing, you know, and that's kind of what that means. So Paul was struggling. He was trying to put these words together to try to get close enough to kind of give us an idea of what God's power in these words. And the idea, the expression of this hyperbolic megathos, say that three times, that hyperbolic megathos is a power that's beyond measure. That's what it means. It's a super abounding, exceptional power. It's a power that is more than enough. You'll see where I'm going with this? It's a power that is more than enough. I know the Holy Spirit inspired all these men to write these words down. Yes, I understand. But they had to operate with their own abilities and language to put these words down. The Holy Spirit gave them what to say and everything. But I believe Paul was stretching it. He was stretching at the seams as he tried to describe the power of God, and by pouring in these more words to try to really describe the power of God. Well, Paul's really telling us that God's power exceeds or surpasses everything. Everything. God's power is unimaginable power. Human words can't come close to even describing God's power. He has power far beyond what we can even imagine. Paul simply could not say enough about God's majesty and His power and His greatness. Basically, he had difficulty finding the words to express this. So, here we are. Here we are today. Right here, right now. How can we learn to rely on this enormous power of God? How can we apply this to our lives right now, today? The first thing I think we need to do is we must choose. Everybody say choose. We must choose to remember the things that God has done. We have to choose to remember everything that God's done in the Bible, in our life. We have to remember this. Psalms 105, 4 and 5 says this right here. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. Now, you can't just read this on the surface. Anytime you reading the Bible is great, but I highly encourage you to study it. There's a big difference between reading and studying. Search for the Lord. You know, He's not lost. Right? If you just read that, you know, search for the Lord. Let me go search for the Lord. That's not what this is saying here. I'm not trying to insult you here again, but we all know that God's not lost. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. What this is talking about here is that we have to choose. We have to choose to look and see where God is operating, where God is moving. We have to be mindful to say to ourselves, wow, that's the power of God right there. I see God moving in his or her life. I see God moving. I see His power moving in my life. I see this. I'm continually keeping my eye open and my ears open to hear God, to see God and what's going on in the world. The verse goes on and says, remember. Everybody say remember. Remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles, and the rulings He has given. Continually remind ourselves, even what I call, and I'm not trying to insult anybody or whatever, but the old Sunday school Bible stories, right? You know, Dave and Goliath, and you know, all the little basic stories. Don't forget them. Don't take them for granted. Continue to remind yourself that, you know, I got this issue, but man, God split open the Red Sea, right? Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. He can get me a new job. Make sense? He can help me find a dependable car. He can take away these migraines that keep tormenting me. Jesus rose Lazarus that he was stinking and rose him from the dead. His power, His wonder-working power, that dunamis power, that's within all of us. That dunamis power, which means that ability to reproduce itself over and over like a dynamo. I think I've talked about that before. That wonder-working power is in every one of us that are believers in Christ and are born again. Every miracle recorded in the Bible should give us encouragement that His strength is more than enough. Amen. Also, to rely on the power of God, we must learn how to calm ourselves down sometimes and really stop trying to depend totally on our abilities to think it through. Our abilities to make the right decision. What should I do? Where should I go? How should I do this? We need to stop doing that. We should, on the other hand, we should give all of our resources that we have over to the one who can do anything. All things are possible with God. Amen? All things are possible with El Shaddai. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this. Everybody still with me? This is what it says. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me." You know, I think about the disciples, you know. They were at their wits' end. They were totally at their wits' end, trying to figure out how to feed 5,000 people. It was not until they brought what they had, the small amount, they brought it to Jesus until people were fed. Joshua stood helpless before the walls of Jericho, but he learned to trust in the Lord's battle plan. Zerubbabel faced the discouraging task of rebuilding the temple. And God reminded him that the work would be done. But He says, "Not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord." Now, One more thing. Prayer is also a vital part of relying on the power of God. When we're able to say, "Thy will be done in Jesus' name," we will not be able to function, to operate in this power of God without prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Prayer. Prayer works. Prayer unlocks this power of God that we're talking about. The Bible says now that we can boldly go before the throne of God. And when Jesus just said that, we can ask. You see, it was in a prayer meeting in the early church that the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. It was during a prayer meeting that Peter was miraculously released from prison. Is the great hope of all believers, the resurrection of Christ. It demonstrates the power of God. It's the great hope. It's the great hope that we all have. Because He lives, we also shall live. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. We just sang that this morning. Thank you, Mr. Gary. Peter said, "We have been born," and please listen to this, and I'm getting ready to close. Peter said, "We have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and it will not fade away." No matter what happens in this world, we have the power of God living inside of us. We have the resurrection of Christ as our hope. The Lord will grant us an inheritance, and He will sustain us for eternity. That's the blessed hope. That's the salvation. That's what we're all banking on, right? We, talking about all of us that are believers, we through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. When Jesus cracks those clouds, God will protect us and keep us safe. As Martin Luther sang during the Protestant Reformation, he sang this. He said, "The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still." That's deep. That is deep. No matter how weak or ill equipped we may feel at times, we can rely on the power of God. We have the assurance that God is willing and able to take care of us through His powerful, faithful love. Now read this verse and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Listen closely. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads. If there's someone here this morning that's never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and for the saints, this is a time for you to be praying or repenting or both. If there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to ask you if you want to stand up and come down here, I'd be glad to pray for you and pray with you. And we can settle that this morning. You can be born again. You can be adopted into the family of God. You can become a citizen of heaven. If you'd like to do that this morning, I'd ask you to just come on down. If you want to just sit right there in your pew and you want to get saved, I just ask that you'll pray this prayer with me right there as you're sitting right there. Just in your own mind, your own words, just pray this with me right now. God, the best way I know how, I give you my life. I repent of my sins. I place my faith in Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.